I'm here to talk to you sort of as a second part of what Mike Mullen talked about, and I think I'm going to hit upon a lot of things that the rest of you have brought up here today, too. As Mike told you, he and I have been together on the Council of Soil Science Examiners for what seems like forever, but it's, I think, been somewhere around 14 years or something like that. As you can see by the title slide here, I am the past chair, and I'm done as of these meetings, so I'm actually going to be leaving my long-term tenure with the Council of Soil Science Examiners, and Mike will be going to past chair as of these meetings. A little bit of background about myself, because I'm coming from a little bit different perspective than what you would expect a faculty member to come from. I spent the first 11 years of my career in environmental consulting, and then I spent the next 5 years in government, and now this is my second year in academia. So I'm coming from a little bit different of a philosophy in having worked in the private sector, having done a lot of the hiring of those graduates that you all have been pumping out over the years. And so I have some very definite ideas on what we need coming into the soil science career path and what we're lacking. And I was also one of the people that, when Minnesota went through and put their licensing bill together, I was one of the people that helped with that. So I've kind of been through a lot of different things. Now I've come back to academia, and it's very interesting to me to see some of the things that academia is struggling with, because it tends to be some of the same things we were struggling with on the outside, which I find still very important and things that need to be talked about. A little bit of history about the licensing and certification exams. They started with a committee, I think it was called S579, that I know some of you were on. But it was the Soil Science Competencies Committee. And back in the early 90s, mid-90s, we started talking about what is it that soil scientists need to know, because we seemed to be all over the board with it. So we wanted to put down on paper what those things were. And what we came up with was performance objectives that are still used by the council today to write exam questions. Every exam question on that licensing certification national exam has to be tied to a performance objective. And if you talk to the old CSSE members here, it's one of the things that we hate, because every time we write a question, we're like, okay, now what does it fit? So performance objectives define the areas of soil science that we think are important. And it's not just we, it's the profession. Those performance objectives go out to everybody that's listed as a soil scientist on the SSSA database, and they're asked, are these things that you think soil scientists should know? And they come back with a yes, no, maybe, how strong do you feel that they should know it, things like that. And we have to take a look at that before we put those things into the fundamentals and professional practice exams. Currently, the POs, or the performance objectives, are updated every 2 years so that we're trying to keep up with the state of the science. They're peer-reviewed, as I talked about. They're used to write the exams so that if people are looking at the performance objectives and they know them, they should be able to get through the exams. And again, the emphasis is decided by the profession, not just the people on the council. The areas of competency that are currently in the performance objectives are listed there for you, and they're what you might expect. The newest one is the one down at the bottom that we have talked about for a long time and finally added in this past year, and it's looking at field and laboratory techniques. After the committee got done with their work and came up with the performance objectives, the Council of Soil Science Examiners was put together. This is the council that writes the national exams. And what we do, and what we've tried very hard to do over the years, is keep the membership of that council very specific in that it is geographically diverse. These are people from all over the country. They are professionally diverse. They come from academia, they come from the private sector, they come from government. And there is diversity in degree type, anything from PhD, master's, and bachelor's, so that we're getting all of those different viewpoints on the practice of soil science into the exams that we're writing. Just a little bit about licensing and certification. Licensing is a little bit different than certification in that it's required in order to practice within the state. You have to have a license, or you're going to be brought up on charges for not having a license and doing soil science work. But what the licensing does is it sets recognized standards for knowledge, skills, and conduct of the professional. State boards are responsible for the examinations and licensure and the regulation of the practice within each of their states. They are also the people that will do the complaint investigation and look at the ethics and conduct of the professionals holding those licenses. Certification is very similar, only it tends to be more voluntary unless there's something identified in statute and rule within the state that says there has to be a certified soil scientist working on a certain type of project. Otherwise, it's pretty much the same, only there's a certification board that's that looks over the certificate holders, and that comes through SSSA, used to be old ARCPACS. The national exam started in 1998. That was when we got the fundamentals and professional practice exams written. And the data that I have here is from the SSSA office, and to date, they're telling me that 527 people have passed the fundamentals exam, 215 have failed. Professional practice, 208 have passed, and 78 have failed. I'm also getting numbers that look like this. As of October 2007 from SSSA, we have 962 CPSS, that's Certified Professional Soil Scientist. That's a certificate holder. That doesn't count the licensing states. And then we have the Associate Professional Soil Scientist. Look at those numbers, folks. Where are the people that are coming behind us? There's not a lot there. There's 34. That's really, really sort of sad. The second set of numbers is for the certified professional soil classifier. And I just wanted to throw that up because those are still people that are taking certificate exams, and there's programs within states that are towards soil classifiers only. When I'm talking about the licensing and certification exams that are done by the Council of Soil Science Examiners, these are soil science, not just looking at soil classification. But still, you see the same trend. Where are the young people coming up behind us? They're not there with those soil scientists in training type certificates. Another thing that concerns me, and these were numbers that I could easily find on state licensing board websites, Minnesota has 98 soil scientists. We started licensing in 1998. We are part of a geoscience bill. Geologists came in with the soil scientists. There are 555 geologists. Apparently, they're doing a better job of getting the word out there than we are. And just for comparison's sake, there are 10,538 engineers out there who are constantly telling the geoscientists, the geologists, and the soil scientists about how much they can do the type of work that we do. And so it's a constant struggle with that profession to say, no, there are things that soil scientists and geologists do that engineers have no business doing. Texas, 152 soil scientists. They have, as you might guess, a whole lot more geology people down there. Keep in mind here that in both Texas and Minnesota, as other licensing states like Wisconsin and North Carolina, they have a grandfathering period, so not all these people took the exam. A lot of them came in under the grandfathering period, which makes you ask how many people are really coming in and taking those exams, even from a professional practice standpoint. So what are the challenges? In the private sector, it's competition with engineers, geologists, land surveyors, septic system designers, things like that. In academia, several of you have talked about the loss of soil science programs and departments, getting lost in environmental science, things like that. Government. Here it's hard to convince people that we need another licensed profession, and so they're unwilling to support or pass these new things. There's argument from the established licensees, i.e. the engineers, who don't want the competition out there. And then there's a real lack of understanding of what is it that soil scientists do. So what are we doing? Well, we can point to several things. We've got the Smithsonian Institute now with the soils exhibit coming in, and that's a wonderful thing because it's going to reach a lot of people and of all different walks of life. We've got SSSA, the executive board, is now coming in with some money, some expertise in the process of going through licensing or certification. And coming up with the money mainly goes towards the lobbying help and things like that. But there's been a group of us that have gotten together that have gone through the licensing program and are trying to help others do that too. Most of all, we're realizing that there's an issue and I think, as Mike said in his talk, I think we've been realizing there's an issue for a long time, but we've been just talking about it, and we haven't been doing a lot. So where do we need to go? I think one of the things, and I'm going to probably run out of time here soon, but one of the things we really need to look at is that fundamentals exam. Where are these people that are coming up through the ranks that are getting soil science degrees? Mike talked about the lack of people coming through the soil science programs, but I don't think we're capturing even the ones that are coming through there. So we have to look at the use of outcomes assessments in universities like Jeff talked about. Using that fundamentals exam might be a really good way of doing that. We need to market ourselves. We do not do a good job of doing that. Lobbying at government to try to get soil science into statute and rule. Some of the work that we do is very unique to soil science, and it should be named in there. Convince others of what we already know. Soils work is important. It needs to be done by somebody that's educated and trained in that subject matter. So we need to work together on all fronts. Again, the fundamentals exam can be used in preparing undergraduates to enter the workforce and give them that head start on licensing and certification. So it gives them a plus on a resume because they've got something different than other people do. That's what the engineers do. They have an EIT when they walk out the door of an institution. Prospective employers see benefits because they know they don't have to do as much training, and they've got somebody that's already in that certification or licensing track, which is only going to be good for them later on. And for the license or certificate holder, it's a portable credential. You don't leave it when you leave the company that you're working for. Statistics from the engineering people will tell you that once out of school, taking exams and passing gets more difficult. And on the next slide, I'll show you statistics on that. But taking the exam as part of an outcomes assessment or a capstone course seems to make sense, and it's helpful to the student and to the profession. I think it's important to get students invested and vested in the profession. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to kind of go through here. But there's obviously barriers here that we need to talk about, and we need to talk about them seriously and how to get over them. Fundamentals of an engineering exam. They went through and did a study. Pass rates of those still enrolled, 75%. 2 years out, 52%. 3 to 5 years out, 40%. We need to get those people while they're still in school. It's much harder to start later. So we need the support of government agencies. Private sector firms, this was a huge pet peeve with me. If you're out in the private sector, we have a lot of people that are licensed that aren't using their stamps and they're not using their signature blocks, which is what engineers always do. We need to look professional to be there. So start young, market our expertise, believe in the knowledge and expertise that we have. Bottom line, we need to communicate the importance of this profession. Nobody else is going to do it for us. It's a tight job market out there. There's competition for students and dollars in academia, which is why we're losing some of our departments and we're getting lost in environmental science, which is understandable, and we're sort of in this turf battle with other professions. Last thing, you wouldn't want an engineer that wasn't licensed out there building bridges or building roads for you. You want to know that that license in there is there and somebody deemed them qualified to do that work. Why aren't soil scientists willing to go there either? We're not, and that's what needs to change. And with that, I'll end.